Nice to meet you all again. The title I would like to give my expressions is this: education to singing and singing as education. It will probably be more of a free digression than an orderly journey. As someone once said, speaking of music is like dancing architecture. I would like to recall some famous words that by now are part of our culture and can be understood beyond any specific religion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word does not mean a word in the strict sense that we mean it today. The Word is sound, the vibration of all that is alive, and thus means life and creation. And creation is the language of the Creator. Word as logos is the matrix of all form. The Word is total knowledge of the absolute, beyond appearance. The Word is the word of God, who names things, makes them evident, the principle to which every person aspires. In the Corpus Hermeticum, Thoth Hermes states that translating his words into another language would mean losing their meaning, because in the language of the Fathers, discourse kept the meaning of words clear. Because the quality of discourse and sound of Egyptian words have the energy of the things then speak about in themselves. Be patient, because now I'm speaking about something hermetical. In Hermetics, as in the Hebrew word, and then in the Kabbalah, the sounds of the words are full of divine and magic energy. And aside, Hermetic thinking established connection between pneuma, which means both spirit and breath, logos, or word as the creative principle, and the Pythagorean harmonies of music or the spheres. From a writing of images and symbols and sometimes repeated graphic patterns, man came to a phonetic form of writing that can still preserve the power of the object referenced. I would simply like to say that even though we are far from the original sound, we can hear an echo, get a shadow of the idea of all things in the sound of each word. We even do it through the filter of different languages and the different emotional and historical experience that link us to the subject of the word. Now we don't have time to experience a recite poetry of Ungaretti, but I remember how this poet, Italian poet, recited his poems. The first spoken word, the expansion of time in his recitation. And yet Ungaretti himself said, "The poetry is poetry when it contains a secret." Now, I do not want to set music and words at odds, on which must serve the other. I think that a musical genius is a person who is able to reveal the soul from the shell of the words, who can translate the secret of the poetry into a resounding architecture. And it doesn't matter how the word is treated as human language, or if it is split up, broadened, even torn apart, taking it far away from our common manner of using it. I would like to add a reflection, maybe an occasion for reflection. Music is the intermediary between word and principle. Words without music are not poetry, and music without poetry is not secret, is not logos. Now, how can I enter in this magic? How can I experience the secret of the music, this architecture of creation. Any type of study is a process, an initiatory path of improvement. It needs passion for life and discovery. And we must be honest. If we really want to discover something in ourselves, art is a process aimed at improving oneself, but not as something unlinked to reality. Art must not be used to detach oneself from reality, to find a solitary Eden of sterile and ephemeral beauty. The improvement of oneself leads to the improvement of what is around us as humans among humans. There is no distinction between spirit and matter. They are only different levels of perception of reality. Art can unite physical reality to transcendent reality. Art puts us into contact with the principle, with the logos, understood as reason and ratio. And what is music if not reason and ratio? It puts us in contact with what Eraclito, for us Italian, defined as lightning, fire, in the sense of continuous genesis, immanence. Music, above all, can put us into contact with immanence, with the eternal soul, the eternal heart that constantly recreates itself. In our life, we have the gift of being able to be illuminated through art and poetry of art, of experiencing the meaning of the moment, of this cosmic breath, this cosmic beat, this cosmic pulse of which we are part. Art educates our soul, our heart, the essence that must be constantly nourished and recreated. This search for beauty and reason in ourselves is a beautiful adventure. And it is even more beautiful to share it with other explorers of art at any level. With singing, we live through this invaluable experience. We are instruments of ourselves. We can create the sound at any time. And to do this, we must learn to experience it tirelessly. And even with nimbleness and luminosity, vital also in the dark. Only performing great music or listening to it performed by great musicians, we can experience this continuous moment, even in the construction and organization of everything, in a vital tension towards the infinite. Do you recognize the urgent drive towards aspiration, constructed and fueled moment by moment, every sound and melodic line and harmony and color, dense and tense even in the silence, until the final presto in the fourth movement of the Ninth Symphony, you remember yesterday. Well, how can I learn to live every fraction of a moment so intensely? It may seem obvious, but it can be learned by educating ourselves with practice, with patience and method, improving concentration, the capacity for interior visualization, and a constant search for the best from an aesthetic, physiological, expressive standpoint, with the flexibility to invent and experiment new paths with a constant assimilation, but at the same time with projection towards the future, ready to imagine the next moment. Now I need to shift to a more practical level. I have to respond to the question I asked myself before. The study of singing is a privileged method of education because it belongs to art and thus to a creative process, because it belongs to music and thus to the vibration of the principle, and because I myself am the instrument of transmission of the secret. So let's start to educate ourselves. We start by eliminating preconceived ideas about our own voice. The greatest discoveries were made precisely because scientists were able to forget prior progress and not be influenced by it, to be courageous and brazen in challenging preconceived ideas, constructed their own personal vision of the world. And so let's start to do this in our small way. When we study, we must be completely open to finding what our voice really is. Studying for a certain result for example, the power of the sound, under the illusion that we can do without the other requirements of the canto, will lead us to a potentially ugly voice, which nobody will want to listen to. Pursuing agility at all costs will make us superficial and boring. I still remember how a young woman, a light soprano, wanted to impress me with a very fast performance of a famous aria. What I actually heard was a soprano that was more superficial than light, like passing over a beautiful landscape with a supersonic aircraft, only quick flashes of color remain in your memory that are completely insignificant. Respect for your own voice indicates respect for yourself. The attitude that we have towards it is the mirror of how we deal with ourselves. I am not only speaking of the aesthetical aspect of the voice. I am speaking of vocal personality and its artistic effectiveness, its capacity to transmit with its own language a vision, an idea, an emotion, a feeling, an ideal creation that goes beyond what is evident. Returning to the supersonic speed, it seems to me that in music and in art in general, the best results are reached when you go slowly, especially at the beginning. Painting began with the cleaning of brushes, the preparation of the canvas, the mixing of the colors, painting a background, some angels, the drapery of a garment. How much study was needed to paint the complexion of a face, an eye? Apart from the law of ration and proportion between figures, the study of light to come to express its secret, including through a hidden teaching. I sense that at the beginning, some of my students are surprised at how much time I spend in studying the vowels. The progress seems slow, but it is a continuous process of listening for the training of the inner ear, for a continuous process of exclusion of what is less beautiful, to lighten the path, to be able to choose the best, in a continuous process of experimentation, always referring to what we have found that is beautiful, because it's beautiful, it's our guide. It is a study of the beginning that then repeats itself for each new piece that we intend to perform. Almost nothing in art is taught theoretically. We can only teach the process of how to experiment and choose that which takes us down to the best path and then the right path, the only one which reflects inner truth. A great artist is one who is be able to be himself while participating in truth. This is why I believe that the study of singing does not involve only an aesthetic choice, but a moral one, in the sense of truth joined with goodness and beauty. And thus for me, through the study of vowels in the student and the study of the student himself, we reach a balanced position to obtain a bright and lively voice even in the darker positions, with legato, flexibility and agility, so that the instrument is be able to partake in the idea that governs the work, the masterpiece. The voice does not give sound to words. It gives sound to the inner meaning of the composition. Each time must be a rediscovery and recreation with a sense of marvel of the original sound through the word. Our spirit must partake in the music through the voice, and we can only do it if our technique has become transparent with the musical emotion, in communion with the color of the idea. I don't like the word interpretation much, because it could be misunderstood with an interference that is too strong regarding our partial vision of the idea expressed in music. I prefer partaking in the musical emotion. At times, it's very simple to change the color of the voice. I remember a calculated, ponderous, and also boring execution of Jai Sola del Ganga. I just suggested to the singer to make a film clip in his mind about the sound that raises on the Ganga. I prefer not Ganga or Ganga. Ganga is the original name of the river. With its clear shine, and to let himself be taken by the movement of the music like in a boat on a wave, and he immediately changed the quality of the sound, and he was much easier and happier. This is a very, very simple example. I can say that until our imagination is shaped with that which the author has translated into music, we will not achieve an artistic quality of performance. Only if we know our own nature, we can educate it, improve it, strengthen it, be artists of ourselves. Perhaps I can compare the study of singing to a sort of knowledge of the house in which we live. At the beginning, it seems that the light is sufficient to live in, but we don't know exactly how it is built or what is inside it. We use the same areas, the same chair, but then we begin to discover the rooms, clean them up, throw off prejudices and habits, useless and troublesome furnishings. We open the windows, let in light. We are no longer content with artificial light. We need true light, that of the sun, our fire, our passion. Usually a house that has been cleaned out and ordered is much more beautiful than we had considered in the same semi-darkness, left alone due to distraction or other reasons. Often we discover that we like it more this way. We live better than before. We breathe more, and people are happy to come and visit us. Finally, I come to the last digression. I recently went to the Cappella dei Pazzi in Florence, of course. The Florence of Brunelleschi and Ficino and Pico della Mirandola. It wasn't the first time, but before I didn't know the secret of that chapel. You know that Brunelleschi is the main representative of the magic architecture of Renaissance. A Renaissance came out and can come out only from Umanesimo. So this new consciousness of human being. So Brunelleschi translated this human Umanesimo and this principle of Renaissance in this chapel. In its nude proportion and simplicity, in the balance of light and colors, it gave a beautiful resonance to the sound of my voice, because if you go there, you have to try this. The demonstration that it is the proportion, the idea translated into construction that resonates inside of us. The emotion I felt in hearing a response from the stone. That stone is the light gray stone, is called serene stone, that almost supported me in my singing, as if the stone were alive and expressed itself through cosmic vibration, made me feel part of the whole that unites stones and man in a harmony that is the reason for the existence of everything, the same harmony that we seek and experience when singing together, playing together, participating in a sort of rite, celebration that is beyond religion and is profoundly moral and human.